Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host, Ryan McPherson, and I'm absolutely thrilled to tell you we are broadcasting, as always, from the beautiful Regis Executive Suites here in sensational Sandy Springs. As a reminder, make sure you are connected with us on social media, Twitter, at Business Radio X, and today we're using the hashtag Atlanta Business Radio. You can also follow me personally on Twitter and on Instagram at Ryan Redhawk, and all tweets and comments are welcome there. And make sure you like our Facebook page. You can see all the photos of our in-studio guests. And now, it's my distinct pleasure to welcome to the Business Radio X flagship studio, Grant McGarry. How you doing, Grant?
Doing great, Ryan. Thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you for joining us. You have a company called Live the Ranger Creed. Is that right?
Correct.
And when was that founded?
That was founded in 2014.
And what was kind of the reason or the impetus behind that?
That started as I was writing my book that just released a few days ago, A Night in the Pesh Valley, and launched the business to start promoting that and create a platform to self-publish the book.
A Night in the Pesh Valley is a book that he's recently released, and it's about his experience as an Army Ranger in the Pesh Valley of Afghanistan and some of his combat stories there. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let's go back to the beginning, kind of what led you to kind of join the Army in 2006?
Well, I grew up, my father was not in the military, but I have some, you know, uncles and grandpas were and was always fascinated by their stories. And my senior year, I was in criminal justice class, second period on 9/11, and watched the Twin Towers fall. And my criminal justice teacher asked, if anybody in here is 18 years old, raise your hand. I was the only one senior year. And he said, you might be going to war. And that resonated, and went home, told my mom I'm joining the Marines. And she said she was okay with it, but she asked that I go to college first and get my degree, and after that I could do whatever I wanted. And might have been one of the few times I listened to my mom, but I actually did go to college and attended the University of Alabama. Mm-hmm. And in my senior year, getting ready to graduate with a finance degree, there was a few things that took place. One might have been the Pat Tillman story, and was fascinated by that, and a few other incidents that really just kind of resonated that it was more of a calling or of such. And so walked into the Army recruiting station and asked for the hardest thing he got. And he said, I here's an Army Ranger contract. And I said, great, sign me up. And the recruiter said, right now? I said, yeah, before I change my mind.
But, just like that.
Yeah, just like that. On the way home, I bought a book called How to Be a U.S. Army Ranger and read it that night. And it was the best decision I've ever made.
And then you were on to basic training down there at Fort Benning?
Correct.
And completed basic training. And then you went through the Ranger School program there. And then what was your first duty station?
Hunter Army Airfield in Savannah, Georgia, at the 1st Ranger Battalion.
So you got assigned to Ranger Battalion, and it probably wasn't long after that you saw your first deployment, I imagine.
Well, 2 months.
Yeah, that's pretty quick.
Right.
You know, most guys go to the regular Army, and they wait a year or more, perhaps, before they go downrange. But you were overseas in 2 months. Was it Iraq or Afghanistan, your first deployment?
Iraq.
And you went to Iraq, and I imagine that was an eye-opening experience for you.
Oh, yeah, that definitely was, and it was definitely an eye-opener.
Yeah, for sure. And then you went on to do several other deployments after that to both Iraq and Afghanistan.
Correct. Did 3 deployments to Iraq, 2 to Afghanistan in total.
Yes. And then the incident that was the behind the book here, the night in the Pesh Valley. Tell our listeners about that night or that day and the experiences behind the book.
So my platoon was on a mission to capture or kill the number 3 most wanted terrorist in the Eastern Afghanistan network at the time. It was August 2010. Osama bin Laden obviously still being alive, so it was a big deal. My team was primary assault, and on that mission, a good Ranger buddy, good friend, great friend was killed in action. And what took place after leaving the military, I left the military not too much longer, January of 2011. Mm-hmm. And I was dealing with what one would call survivor's guilt. And actually, my mom noticed that. So that month prior, she bought me a journal for Christmas. And I took that journal as I was transitioning to start contracting for the Department of State, and was at the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad in 2011. And throughout that entire time, anytime I was not being able, sleeping or what have you, I would just take that journal and start writing in it. And so I did that for about a year while I was at the embassy in Baghdad. And then when I got home for Christmas leave, I put that journal and tucked it away in the nightstand and didn't touch it till about 2013, 2014 mm-hmm. timeframe, and pulled it back out with a goal to tell our story, tell the story of Specialist Christopher Shane Wright, who died, and wanted to make sure that his name stood the test of time and really exemplify his sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. So the book didn't begin with you wanting to tell this story to the masses. It began for you to internally get some of this out for your own self-worth. And then you said you tucked it away for a number of years.
Correct.
And then you brought it back. Was it through your buddies saying, hey, you got this journal with all these great stories, let's bring that out? Or did you personally want to bring it to the public?
Yeah, I actually had a friend that wrote a book that was released about a year ago, and I was going to contribute a chapter to the book that they put out. And so when I converted everything out of the journal onto a Word doc, I realized I had way more than a chapter. It was close to 30,000 words, mm-hmm. and it was getting close, for me to decide on whether or not I wanted to contribute to that book. But I wanted to get Chris's mom and dad's approval before I did anything. So I asked them that, give me some time. I wanted to mail this off and, talk to Chris's parents about it first. And to my surprise, they, were very, thankful for it. It really helped them in a way too. And after a few conversations over the phone, I decided to back out of that book and really make a story around that mission and how our lives all converse and where we all kind of came from and tell a longer story than just a chapter. So,
yeah, and that book is now on Amazon. If you want to go out there and search yourself, A Night in the Pesh Valley, it's Grant McGarry's account of an operation in the most dangerous terrain for U.S. forces anywhere in the world. The Pesh Valley is surrounded by Taliban-filled mountains on the Pakistan border in the Kunar province. And so, yeah, that's just got to be just every time you step into that area of the world, kind of challenging as in itself. But then to step back and think about your time over there, I imagine it probably all just kind of runs together for you, including those harrowing experiences, engaging the enemy.
Yeah, it's interesting because, when I got home from that last deployment in Afghanistan, I probably went about a week where I didn't sleep, and it was real. It was so real. The dreams were just as, there as if it was there. And so getting it off of my chest initially into the journal was very therapeutic, but then to go back through it and relive it and write it and turn it into a book was very hard. Hmm. It definitely brought back some tears and some more survivor's guilt and more thought about it. But for me to take on something, just as I took on the challenge to become an Army Ranger, I was not going to not do something without giving my best. And so it was an amazing experience to learn how to put a book together.
No, that sounds like it for sure. And who was the targeted audience for this book?
Really for the entire world, or obviously, veterans and friends. I think, ideally they're also very, excited about the book. As well as young men and young women that are looking to join the military. I think this can kind of show an insight to what it's like, the journey and what the trials and tribulations are throughout a career in the military.
Yeah, I've always observed the Army Rangers from the outside. I was a combat infantryman, but never the Rangers, but they were a tight-knit group of guys. There was camaraderie, even to another level that we didn't have, and they pulled for one another. So I imagine that, these times that you went through together even resonate even more because of that loyalty, that camaraderie that is already instilled before you ever get deployed in the Rangers.
Yes, the training is so intense that it's a lifestyle. It's not a job. It is a job, but it's more of a lifestyle. It's a mindset. It's 24 hours a day. It's, you live it, eat it, yep. eat it, breathe it.
Yeah. And you hang out with other Rangers, yep. you know, and it's just a good standard to uphold. Once you become a part of that community, yeah. You don't want to let your brothers down for sure. So, so folks can learn a lot about this book. You can learn a lot more about Grant's unit and the men who served there in that particular night in the Pesh Valley. If you're a young veteran or you're a seasoned veteran and you just want to kind of immerse yourself in some more of these stories of the heroic men who were there that day, this book is for you for sure. And you can find it on Amazon. But I think this book is part of a larger mission for you, a larger cause. You've got another organization called Live the Ranger Creed. That's, you have books and apparel and information for folks on your website there. What was the kind of impetus behind Live the Ranger Creed?
That kind of concept came to me as I was writing the book, and it, you know, we lived our life, you know, evolved around the Ranger Creed, and how that lifestyle that we had in the Ranger Regiment, I realized if that can, you know, if you transfer that into civilian life, there's nothing that you can't accomplish in civilian life with that, you know, those stanzas and what it stands for. And so that resonated in it to empower the hardships of making that transition. The transition from being a veteran into civilian lifestyle is probably harder than becoming an actual Ranger in itself. So
it can be, because a lot of the times you are trained how to fight, trained how to go to war, but you're not trained how to come home and readjust to society. So there are a lot of veterans out there struggling, whether you're a combat veteran or you're just you serve stateside to support the mission. It's hard to make that transition sometimes. So any advice that you would give to a veteran who's in transition now, how to overcome those challenges?
Yeah, I think just continuing to stay in touch with your friends from the military and not secluding yourself and finding yourself alone, always, you know, whether, and then, you know, really finding that new mission, whatever it may be, and then get passionate about it. That's, I think, the best thing to do.
Yeah, it's very, very well said. Get a new mission, a new compass heading to kind of stay on for sure. I think some of the biggest challenges for me personally were overcoming that nobody would understand. I felt like nobody would ever relate, other than another veteran, to me. Regular civilians had no clue, and I almost had a bad taste in my mouth for people who did not serve. It took me a long time to get over that. There are people out there who respect veterans, support veterans, but who have never served. So that was something, me personally, and so a veteran is struggling with that now, there are plenty of resources out there to go get some help, either through the VA or through certain civilian channels, but don't just not seek help. Don't isolate yourself, just as you said.
Yeah, there's definitely a communication gap, and it took a while to know what to say when a civilian thanked you for your service. And so just to be able to say thank you back, that was a big step. And so now, and reminding guys that it's okay to say thank you about that is something else.
That's, you're right. I hear that time and time again. You know, folks want to thank you, and so you should kind of open your heart and your mind to them to let them thank you. Don't be defensive about
right.
it. Don't let that push you down into a hole even further. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, reach out to those people who have been through what you've been through. I think, you know, for me also, Facebook was a great way to keep in touch with all of my old Army buddies who are, you know, scattered all over the world now. And we still talk regularly. We have a group that we go to and communicate that way. I don't know where I would have been if it wasn't for Facebook. So
yeah,
it's a great way for veterans to stay connected. And then also a great way for you to find that new mission in life. So you've done so with your book, your organization, Live the Ranger Creed, but you're also involved with some other community give back programs. So let's talk about those.
Right. Yeah. So I found myself helping a couple of veterans with service dogs, and there's a huge need for service dogs. I believe it's around 7-year waiting list if you're trying to get a service dog through the VA, and then about a year-long waiting list if you're trying to get a service dog through SOCOM's Care Coalition for Soft Veterans. And so I've recently facilitated two veterans to get a service dog each, and in this year, and in 2016, we're going to have one of the dogs, Hard Rock Charlie, trained to, basically be a seizure alert service dog for another Ranger veteran by the name of Josh Collins. And then The second dog is for a female Navy veteran named Amy Quinn, and her dog is named Kenobi.
So fantastic. Where are you getting these dogs from?
Well, these two dogs are both from the same litter, from a breeder in Illinois named Bonnie Suggs. They both wanted a golden doodle. They had wanted that hypoallergenic type of dog. So, we just kind of searched high and low until we found a breeder of golden
doodles. That's great. Yeah. And it could be a number of dogs. I mean, going down the road, you hope to help more veterans and more dogs, but it doesn't have to be a golden doodle.
Right. Yes. And so this is just the first, our idea. We have another, ranger that we're talking with right now. And so the goal in this year is to do, help three veterans and then kind of really build off that and see how, keep, streamlining the processes and go from there.
Well, I'm very curious to know about how you're finding the veterans that need the help, or do they find you?
It's through a relationship that I established with Care Coalition out of Tampa, and they're a branch of SOCOM that handles and helps the soft veterans in their civilian life. And so having grown up with 3 to 4 different types of kinds of dogs and always been around dogs and have a dog myself that's a German short-haired pointer, and he's my new ranger buddy, I've seen the benefits as well. And so when I heard about this need and this, basically demand for service dogs is what's kind of really launched this whole effort.
Can you train a German Shorthair to do some of these service-oriented type missions that service dogs do? The reason I ask is I had a German Shorthair growing up, and all that dog could do was fetch birds out of the bush.
Yeah. His name's Elvis, and he's good at giving me the Elvis lip and going on runs. That's about,
Hey, sometimes that's good enough, right?
Yeah.
And my dog, I have a yellow lab. I've got her as a companion animal. I tell people all the time, that's what she is. She doesn't have a piece of paper saying that. She hasn't been through a class to be certified. But man, that dog knows when I need her. And that dog is there for me when the time it comes that we run together, we hike together, we camp together. She's everywhere with me. I'd have her in the studio here if they would let me, but the building does not allow that. So, so for those listeners who may have just joined us, we're talking with Grant McGarry. He is with Live the Ranger Creed. He also has a new book out, A Night in the Pesh Valley, which you can find on Amazon or Kindle. He is a former Army Ranger and a veteran who has worked with the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. After leaving that area, he started his own business and is now currently in the weekend program over at Gwazeta Emory Business School, getting your MBA. Man, what else do you do out there?
Yes.
So that's pretty exciting, too. So that's every weekend that you're down there and trying to better yourself academically.
Correct. It's evening and weekends, and it's been one of the best things that I've done to help find that new mission, make that transition. That training that you get while being in school has really, helped reshape my mind and whatnot. And so very thankful for the Emory family community. It's just fantastic, school, university. So.
No, certainly. And it's great that they are opening their doors to veterans like yourself and willing to encourage them to join the ranks no matter what your background may be or your age or what have you, that there's a place for you there.
Right. There's a retired Lieutenant General Ken Keene, an associate dean of leadership at Emory University. And he was a Ranger Regiment commander at one point in my interview. They mentioned him, and I had no idea he was there. And so that was, knowing that he, that was definitely a huge, when I'm signed, if I get accepted, that's where I'm going.
That's right.
He's really brought on a huge veteran initiative towards Emory, and there's, I believe, 76 or so veterans enrolled in the different MBA programs now. And so they really are out to help veterans.
That's Emory, fantastic. Yes, we encourage any veteran to look them up. If you're interested in continuing your academic road there, the Gwazeta Business School down there at Emory is a great place to do that. And so you've got the book, you've got the company, and you've got the work going on at the MBA. But from your perspective and being involved in all these different elements of it, where do you see that we need to help veterans more? Where can we pick up the pieces and continue to support the veterans the more and more they come home?
I think it's listening to them and what it is that they need help with first. But that one idea of, you know, this hiring a veteran, you know, I don't know the statistics of it, but I still see that there are not a lot of veterans that are getting, you know, opportunities in the workforce in corporate America. And I know there are initiatives to have it done, but I still think that there's a need for more jobs for veterans and to help that. And actually, you know, take them and help, you know, groom them in, you know, and take it on as a prod, you know, help them, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't, you know, it's an interesting.
No, I think you're right. I think there's so many layers to that, and it needs to be kind of a community effort, you know.
Right.
And I think one thing I see a lot is, you know, we have this long list of accomplishments in the Army or whatever branch of service you were in, but that doesn't translate into a civilian resume.
Right.
Unless you know how to use that language. So, you know, for example, you know, I was really experienced as going after high value targets and kicking in doors.
Right.
But I don't want to, you know, that to be on my resume when I'm going to apply for a radio job. Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then, you know, to be able to talk about how, you know, you're involved in teams, and in corporate America, they love teamwork. And that's what, you know, you learn in the military is teamwork. And so that actually, you know, put that on a piece of paper and a resume is difficult. So if you have trouble, you know, reach out to these organizations that can help that. There's a lot out there. You know, Hire Heroes USA, Service to School, some other great, you know, organizations that I've found out.
Yeah, Hire for Heroes USA, been on the radio program here before. Mm-hmm. We're a big supporter of them, and I ran in their 5K last year, so they're a great group of folks for sure. But yeah, getting those skills translated into civilian format so your civilian recruiter can see that, you know, one thing in the Army that I was able to work with people of all ages and all ethnic backgrounds.
Right.
And we got along together effectively and worked well together. In corporate America today, that's something they're still striving to make happen.
There's nothing more diverse than the United States military. And so, yes.
Yeah, working with all kinds of people and problem solving together and, and coming up with like-minded goals that you all can accomplish together. It's a great. So the support for the veteran, the transition for the veteran, and then continuing to support them. I mean, we think of these big entities out there like the VA or like the Wounded Warrior Project, but unless you're actively out there, putting yourself out there, they're not going to come knocking on your door. So I think that, me personally, is the disconnect there. We've got so many veterans who are afraid to step out of their house and afraid to go back into the workforce. Yes, there are these resources out there, but how do we find these ones who are not getting the help? How do we connect with them?
Oh, yeah, that's, because civilian life could be a lot harder. It is harder than the military in a sense that you don't have that structure. No one's telling you what to do. And so to actually become your own leader, your own boss, your own motivator, you know, that is definitely a challenge too at some point. I've seen that as well. But how to actually connect with them, that's
right. Are you part of any organizations? Are you part of the VFW or a Legion or anything like that?
Yeah. So I've been involved with an organization called the Darby Project for the past year. Actually helped found and create that 501c3.
Tell us about that.
And so We basically have created chapters across the country, and it's up to around 15 chapters. And in each chapter, there's a chapter president, and they are kind of that point POC, or that point of contact. And so what's basically evolved out of that is if a Ranger reaches out and says, I'm getting out of the military and I want to move to Wisconsin, and I want to be a CPA. Why? You know, okay, I'm going to put you in touch with him, you know, chapter president, so-and-so. And then from there, he can kind of connect you within the community and utilize what relationships that individual has already established.
That sounds like a great way to keep that veteran engaged from that moment they get out to the moment they hit the ground at their new hometown, wherever they decided to, you know, kind of set up camp. So, but yeah, engaging them immediately.
Right. And it empowers, you know, the veteran to, and it keeps that brotherhood. And then through that, they, you know, have created, you know, pipelines. The chapter president in New York is attending Columbia University, and he's helped, around 15 people or 15 veterans get into Columbia University, as well as other things like, you know, Ranger breakfast is what they call it. And so they continue to gather.
Yeah, no, whether you're locally or you're looking to get part of a larger organization like the VFW or the American Legion, or more specific to what branch of service you are in, like the Darby Project, they're helping the Rangers stay connected and stay motivated and making sure they don't get lost in transition. Right. You know, that can't happen. You know, because everything in the Army is like planned out for you. You don't really have to think for yourself. In a lot of ways, that hinders you when you get out, because now you do. You have to write your own future. You are your own boss. You know, whether you're going to work for a big corporation or start your own business, you are now your own kind of spearhead there.
Right. And I believe it's around 35% of small business owners are now believe veterans. And so that's another thing too, is, you know, that entrepreneurial spirit, I definitely think, is there with the veteran. And so, you know, with that said, I think there's also a need to help these guys start businesses, you know, teach them where they need might go to get funding or whatever. And so I think that's, you know, definitely something else that, as you know, the civilian side can, you know, help embrace them with.
Now, we've had a company in here before, Boots to Business, very similar to that, helping entrepreneurs, veteran entrepreneurs transition, help them get their business plans together, help them get the funding, whatever they may need to launch their business, because we do believe veterans make very good entrepreneurs.
Yeah, they, you know, give them, yes, mm-hmm. definitely, because, you know, accomplish the mission is in, you know, every veteran's blood and whatnot. So they're going to, they're the hard workers. They're goal oriented. They're, mm-hmm. you know, disciplined and self-motivated. So I definitely think that if anybody can do it, it's a veteran.
Definitely, for sure. So so we're looking to kind of hear Business Radio X, Atlanta Business Radio. One of our missions in 2016 is to help bring this voice to veterans, to help connect veterans of different generations with business leaders and business owners out there to provide these needs and transition and maybe come up with some new strategies or support methods to help these veterans before they go down that road. And we've seen these numbers, and it's almost thrown around in media too much, but 22 veterans a day are losing their life to suicide because of what they've been through. And that's just a huge number. It doesn't need to be nearly that high.
Right. Yeah, I believe that statistic came out in 2009, 2010.
Has it gone down since then?
I don't know. I've not seen anything since then. I would, you know, hopefully it has.
Yeah, hopefully we're making a difference.
I definitely know that that is real. It was February 14th of last year, as Carl Monger, my partner in the Darby Project, you know, he's also involved with his, you know, big organizations called Gallant Few. And as we were establishing the Darby Project, a ranger that was in my team by the name of Jason Kendall took his life. And then so that day, it was my birthday too. And it was the first day I got to 1st Ranger Battalion. It's one of those days, you know, and I just remember sitting there thinking all day long about, you know, here we are starting this Darby Project. And it really resonated that time is of the essence. There is, you know, it's all about, there's no, yes, there's an urgency.
Yeah, there is.
You know, a sense of urgency about this issue. And I think all these things that we're talking about, education, employment, helping veterans become entrepreneurs, or, you know, listening to them and figuring out how you can help them, that is the, you know, it's all encompassed into that holistically. So,
any advice you would give for a caregiver of a veteran out there? So they may have a family member that's a veteran who's struggling and they don't know how to approach them or how to offer them some resources. Any advice you may have for them to get their veteran out there and get involved?
Yeah, that, you know, if they don't understand, there's you know, a way to kind of connect with their friends that they might know and you know, and kind of talk with their friends or what have you, and really kind of root up some other things.
Yeah, I think so. So whether you're a veteran or you're a family mm-hmm. member of a veteran, mm-hmm. Definitely, you know, communicating and asking, what does that individual need? I think we can talk about generalities and this and that, but talk to that person one-on-one. Mm-hmm. What do they need? Mm-hmm. How can they be helped? And support that, whatever it may be. I think that's a good place to start. So I got to ask this too, you know, maybe one day they decide to make a movie about this book, A Night in the Apache Valley. Who's going to be your character? Who's going to be the starring role for you?
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't
not to put you on the spot or anything.
No, I haven't been thought about that. And I don't necessarily watch.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, it could be anyone then, for that matter, right?
Let's say...
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tom Cruise. Yeah, Top Gun, right?
Right, yeah.
Maverick.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. Maverick.
Maverick.
I'll take that. Yeah,
okay, right.
Yeah,
it's better than...
I'm not exactly tall or anything, but a little bit got him by a couple inches. That's all right.
Yeah, that's right. He's a big-time Hollywood actor, though. And so, for sure, you know, and the book, you know, it's going to hit home for a lot of people. They're going to pick it up now or a year from now or 5 years from now. It will always have a meaning and a message behind it. Do you think you have another book in you somewhere?
Yeah, I do. I've got to finish school first.
Right.
I feel like this MBA program is consuming me. But when I'm done with that, I've got a few ideas. I'm excited to see.
Yeah. So there you heard it, folks. Stay tuned for more from Grant McGarry. He's going to be coming to you soon, either with a fresh MBA certificate or a new book for you to enjoy for sure. You can go to his website now, www.ltrc-ops.com. That's Live the Ranger Creed Ops.com. To stay updated on all the gear and everything he has there. I know he's got some cool hats. I met your dad at a shooting range, and that's how we got connected. Yeah. And he had a cool hat on, and immediately I said, "Hey, man, I like your hat." And he said, "Let me tell you all about it."
Yeah.
So you can thank your father for connecting us for sure. And you can also connect with Grant on Facebook and his organization. It's facebook.com/LTRC22 if you want to connect there. Also on Instagram and Twitter and all over the place, so you can stay updated with Grant and all his going on. So I have to ask you this too: when you're not out there working hard on your MBA and you're not out there trying to connect other veterans and service animals and everything, what do you like to do when you're off time to stay motivated and inspired?
Now it's trying to find time for my new wife that I've recently been married.
Congratulations.
We've got a boy due on February 24th.
Fantastic. So right around the corner.
Yeah, just getting ready to be a dad.
That's going to be an exciting time for you, I guess.
Yeah.
You're going to have a little Ranger shirt for him to wear?
Yeah, oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. We're naming him Gunner Andrew McGarry. So
nice.
If he wants to be a Ranger, I'd make his dad proud.
I'm sure it would.
Yeah.
So I know you don't have a lot of time, but your family, your son on the way, got you inspired, got you motivated, and certainly keep you on that mission that you're on now.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's good to hear. So so if we can help you here, Atlanta Business Radio, Business Radio X, further your message, amplify your voice, especially the voice of veterans and how we can connect, I'd love to do so. I think there's a big need out there for sure. So please do come on back and share your stories with us once again.
Will do. Thank you very much, Ryan.
All right, my pleasure. And again, listeners, go to www.ltrc-ops.com or go to Amazon and look up his book, A Night in the Pesh Valley by Grant McGarry. You will find it very informative and exciting, and certainly one that will stay on your nightstand not too long, because you'll read it and put it down and pass it on to some other. So are there any books on your nightstand now that you're reading, or other than your school books? I hate to ask you that one.
No, yeah, I just, Give and Take by Adam Grant. I just finished that. That was a great book. And then the next book I'm getting ready to read is Team of Teams by General Stanley McChrystal.
That would be a good one, right?
Yeah.
I've not read that, but I've heard about that. So that needs to be on my reading list, is sure. If it's not on your reading list, listeners, make sure it is today. So thank you once again, Grant, for joining us. Look for more great things in you and your new family in 2016. All right, listeners, if your company is out there doing something interesting to genuinely serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on the website at businessradiox.com and pitch us your story. We'd love to feature you on an upcoming episode. And thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan McPherson. Until we see you on the radio.